We ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I know there are people, and some of you might be in this crowd, that leave the comforts of your home on purpose and go out and pitch a tent on the dirt and call it recreation. I know about that. I don't understand it, but I know about it. Some people just love to camp. I had a group of friends who loved to camp, and they kept saying to me, "You really should come. Once you come and camp, you'll never go back. You'll love to do that." So I took them up on it against my better judgment. Now, these were city people like myself, so I thought maybe they were on to something, and we went to camp on a campground. They said, "It's not the woods, it's a nice meadowy place with a farm area, and you'll really enjoy it." Well, I got there and we pitched the tent, and I realized that, first of all, the ground doesn't give. So when you lay on it, you can't get comfortable because it doesn't give. And while we were camping, a great storm came up with rain and lightning, and so they said, "You know what, we better go over to the barn and stay in the barn." Well, barns are stinky places. There were horse flies in this barn and hay, and after a while it was raining. The rain had let up a little, so I said, "You know what, I'd rather be in the tent than in this barn." So I went to the tent. And as I'm sitting in this tent, wondering why I was there, a wind arose and blew the tent away with me in it. And as I'm trying to find my way out of this tent, I had visions of the headline, you know, "Woman dies being blown away by a tent." So all my friends see my predicament and they run around, and I see all these imprints coming around to try to find where the door is to this tent. I happen to be standing on it. And then at one point, one of my friends was pushing on me quite a bit. I said, "You know, Paula, you're suffocating me. Why are you pushing on me?" She said, "Because if I don't, you'll go into the lake." Well, they finally pulled me out of this tent and brought me back to the barn, and we were all going to stay there that night. And this city girl had had enough. And I went and slept in my car for the rest of our time. So we had our campfire experience, and we stayed there about 2 or 3 days, and I was not too happy. But then they said, "On Sunday, we're going to go to a French church." And I thought, well, that'll be nice. But now we get to the church, and we all line a pew, and all of a sudden, I'm smelling something, and it's really not a nice smell. And then I realize it's us, because we hadn't showered in 3 days. And after that, my friends never asked me. They would start talking about camping trips, they'd see my look, and they'd go away. So I don't get it why people would do this on purpose. So I really understand the people of Israel leaving Egypt. Now, we know why they left. They were slaves, they were in misery, and God brought them out. And I understand how exciting it must have been to get out from under Egypt's rule. But then they spent not a few weeks, not a few months, but years in desert places camping out. The first few years were exciting. They started to learn how to be a people and how to be independent. They learned about God's provisions. But by the time the story opens in Numbers that were read today, they had been traveling 38 years. And it was getting pretty old. A lot of their friends and family had died on the way. One generation was probably buried already. They had been wandering so long, and by the time this opens, two of their most charismatic leaders are gone. Miriam, who was Moses' sister, and Aaron, who was Moses' brother and the high priest of Israel. They had both died. So they're out two leaders. They had wanted to go through the country of Edom. And Edom, as you remember, were half-brothers of Israel. They were full-blooded brothers of Israel. There was Esau and Jacob. And so these two brothers. So when the Israelites wanted to go through Edom, they sent messengers saying, "Where are your brothers? We're children of Abraham. Can we go through your land?" And the king of Edom said, "I don't think so. You come through here and we're going to wipe you out." So instead of being able to travel through Edom to their destination, they had to go around again. And they were tired of it. They were sick of it. They were sick of traveling. They were sick of death. They were sick of all this. And so they got angry. Do you understand how they could feel? Sometimes life just keeps happening to us. And we feel like we're at the Chinese water torture where it's drip, drip, drip. And we get so frustrated that we get angry and bitter and tired. It happens to all of us. And so the people turned on their leader and they said to Moses, "You've brought us here to die." And then they said, they went one step too far. They said, "And we despise this detestable food that we have to eat." What was the detestable food? It was the bread of God that was sent from heaven called manna. Manna really means, what is it? And they had been eating it for 38 years. It was no longer a miracle to them. Even though they didn't have to hunt and gather, it was there when they woke up in the morning. They just had to pick it up and cook it up, and it was ready for them. And even though it was a miracle of God, they called it detestable. We can become so embittered by life that even the miracles around us, we don't consider. And so they said, "It's detestable." And serpents came into that wilderness camp. The place was infested with snakes, and a lot of people were bitten and died. And then they turned and said, "Oops, have you done that?" Sometimes we hope that when we do something wrong that our conscience will prick us, but oftentimes it's when we have a consequence that then our consciences prick us. I don't really get upset about my eating habits until I can't fit into my clothes, and then I say, "Oops." Well, these people said, "Oops, we've done something wrong. We've complained too much, and now we have this problem." They said, "Moses, please pray for us." Now, Moses was the one they were complaining to, and Moses was so kind and so gracious, and he said, yes, he would pray. And so he prayed for the people. And interestingly, God did not remove the snakes. Did you notice that? They asked for the snakes to be removed. But instead, he said, "Make a picture, an image of a snake, and put it on a pole. And tell the people, if they look up to the pole, to that snake, that they will live." And so the Bible says that people looked up and lived. One rabbi said it this way. He said it was not the snake on a pole that cured them. It was looking up to heaven, to God's grace and God's comfort, and that's what cured them. Jesus took this ancient symbol from the Old Testament, and he said, just as Moses put that serpent on a pole, and the object of their fear and the object of their horror became their salvation, so I'm going to be lifted up on a pole. And that terrible object of capital punishment is going to be the object of our salvation. It's not the cross as the symbol, it's what the cross represents. Represents the love and the grace and the mercy of God. And I would encourage us today, when we're in our problems, when we're in life and life just seems gray and hopeless, that one of the things that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to do is look up. See, oft times when we have problems, we look to each other and we look to our own intellect and we wonder why we're grinding away and nothing happens. Because we're not looking up. We look up to live. We look up to Christ to live. We look up to the God of the universe to live. Have you looked up this week? I was walking along the shore, which I love to do. And as I was walking and talking to God and complaining a bit, because we all do that, I was reminded that when I lived in the urban environment, I used to take 1 week a year. My family and I would save all year to take 1 week to go up to the Adirondack Mountains to commune with nature, to rest, to relax, to have all that beauty. And I remember when I was there that 1 week out of 52 weeks of the year, and I would look up to the night sky and see all the stars, and just breathe in and out and say, I wish I had this all the time. And I was reminded, now I have it every day. I need only to look out and see the beauty around me that God has provided. Look up and live. If you got out of bed this morning and the feet hit the floor, that's a miracle. If we got out of our houses, that's a miracle. That we're breathing air is a miracle. We just need to look up to live. There was a funny story that was told by Norman Vincent Peale. I went to a workshop that he had several years ago, and he was talking about the magazine that he runs, the Guideposts. Well, when they started out in publishing, things were really difficult. It was very difficult to manage. It was difficult to fund. And they were running out of money really quickly. So Peale thought he would invite one of their benefactors, one of their wealthy donors. Now, he didn't want to say, give us money. So he invited her to come to a meeting where they were just discussing the problems. And so they were kind of telling the story of what was going on in this meeting. And she, her frown was getting more and more deep. And finally she said, pick these things. So she said, okay, let's pray. So he started out praying, describing to God all the problems. And she looked at him and she said, you know what? I'm not giving you any money. She said, I'm going to give you something more powerful. We're going to really pray about this need. And so she prayed an impassioned prayer and she asked them to join them. And by the end of their session, she had not opened the checkbook, and he was so disappointed. He said, what happened then in the next few weeks as they prayed about the situation is they got a whole plan, business plan of action that had nothing to do with bailing out the existing plan. The existing plan would have continued to fail, and God gave them some creativity to think differently because they were looking up. We need to look up more. Church of Jesus Christ, this week, whatever the problem is, look up before you look at the problem. Look up and live. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the miracles that are all around us, the miracles that somehow we dismiss when we're too anxious and concerned, when we're too weary of life. Help us this week